3:03, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday. We have made it. Congratulations. Self high fives all the way around. Another beautiful day. I know Matt DiNardo had been telling us the humidity was coming back. I don't know where it is. It's not in Ashland, I'm very happy to say. Beautiful. 85 degrees, low humidity. Absolutely perfect. I know we got storms probably rolling in this weekend, but we'll take it, right? We haven't had any real rain for a couple of days, which is fantastic. And everything is about to be free. This is fantastic. I was listening to our not ready for primetime vice president. Well, hell, she's not ready for vice president or president now that I think about it, but our not ready for primetime vice president, Kamala Harris. And she explained so much to me, and I just, gosh, I've got to go back and undo everything that I have learned up until this point. Apparently, high prices cause inflation. Silly me. Now, I'm not an economist, but I got a wallet. I got a bank account. Got some retirement stuff. And I do believe I took an Econ 101 course at some point. But she told me high prices cause inflation. Everybody within the economic world would tell you, well, it's actually the opposite. Inflation causes high prices. You're inflating the cost of something. And there are different ways that you can inflate the cost of something. Well, let me rephrase that. This used to explain how things worked. But now that everybody is going to get a unicorn and a magic car powered by rainbow farts, this is incredible. Oh, and a cuddle puppy. Would you like a cuddle puppy? I would. Well, shh. I don't want to say it out loud near Pixie, but sure, I'll take another cuddle puppy. It's just going to be great. Because according to Kamala Harris and her intense study of Kamalanomics, all you have to do to bring down inflation is to have the government step in and set prices. Now, let me just spitball this for a second here. Now, Kamala Harris, are you telling us, Madam Vice President, that the same federal government, which has not had a balanced budget since the year 2001, and is, what, $35 trillion in debt? They're going to tell the local supermarket how much they should be charging for a gallon of milk and a dozen eggs. Call me crazy. I'm not inspired. I'm not feeling a lot of confidence on that one. You know how you make things more expensive? Take them away. It's a little thing called supply and demand. Let's say you've got a whole slew of something. And everybody wants this something, but there's a limited supply of the something. But everybody wants that something. Well, if you really do want that something, you're going to have to pony up big bucks to get that something. Because there's a limited supply, but there's a very high demand. Well, let's say you're on the supply side of this. You're saying, well, I want to sell more of this stuff. Okay. Now you double the amount of something. You double the supply of that something, and you have now flooded the market with that. Well, guess what? There's still the same number of people that want it, which means you just took the value out of that thing because anybody can get it. That's a way that you impact prices. Let's say you've got a supply of something and you've got a demand for something. And there's sort of this homeostasis, this equilibrium. There's the right amount of demand met by the right amount of supply. Well, then the prices kind of sort of stay status quo, right? You as the manufacturer of whatever this something is have figured out how much it costs to make it, and you make it, and you've done your market research, and you know the people that want it, how many customers you're going to have, and you want to meet their demand, but you don't want to saturate the market with this something because then it won't be worth anything. Then you'll be going into stores and seeing your product sold 2-for-1 or 3-for-1. You lower the value. Now, let's say you are on the other side of that. You're on the supply side. And you say, well, we really do want to make this more valuable. You dial back production. You want a real-world example of that? Oil. Oil. Because Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have ceased our own production of oil, our own exploration for oil, our own drilling for oil, we now find ourselves completely and totally dependent on people around the world who hate us. And every once in a while, they get a bee in their bonnet and they decide, well, we're gonna work over the Americans. And they dial back the production of oil. What happens? The price of oil goes up. The price you pay at the pump goes up. When Donald John Trump was president of the United States, we were actually not only a major world producer of petroleum products, we were actually a major exporter of petroleum products because we were utilizing our own supply. We didn't have to count on anybody else to supply us. But Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, who are completely and totally wedded to the most radical Marxist people in the world, well, they don't want you to be able to get around. And so they have cut oil production. And so that's why gas prices are double what they were when these two brain surgeons took office. She also, I got a whole list here. That's just the food, right? So she's going to control the food prices by having a federal agency decide how much, I guess, each item of food costs. Well, what could go wrong with that? I mean, you'll get a guy like Pete Buttigieg, who is qualified for the job because, well, he once made a sandwich. So clearly he should be in charge of figuring out how much bread and mayonnaise and bologna should cost. Well, what about the cheese, Jeff? What about the pickles? No, those are separate departments. We'll need a secretary for cheesiness. We'll need to have a secretary in charge of bologna. I know, we've already got a long line on that. And a condiments commissioner. And don't forget the burger czar, because he can tell you where the burgers are. That'll be great. I see a whole bunch of brand new professions being opened up. I see a lot of new positions being opened up. This is going to be wonderful. They're all going to be employed by the federal government. And thank God Uncle Sam went and got himself that second job, you know, because you run into him at the local Walmart working the overnight shift, stocking the shelves so that he can keep all of these government employees employed on the government payroll. It's not like they're taking money from you or from me. They take care of themselves. Oh, and housing. Okay, so let me see if I understand this correct, Kamala. You believe, Madam Vice President, that there's not enough affordable housing out there. Now, why is that? Because houses are too expensive. Right. The houses are too expensive. Well, why are the houses too expensive? The expensive houses are expensive because the cost of food is expensive, has gone up, and that all causes inflation. Okay. All right, we're going to stick with that one? Fair enough. Tell me then how you alleviate this situation. How do you mitigate this issue? Well, you're going to build more homes. Okay. Are you going to build more homes? Who's going to build more homes? The home builders? Because the home builders have this crazy idea. Since it costs them X number of dollars to build a home, they want to be sure that they're going to be selling that home. So they have a tendency to sort of be aware of what the market is. Now, sometimes they go one way or the other. That's true. Sometimes the home builders miss it. It happens, mainly because it's a profession comprised of actual human beings. But if you're going to have a federal department in D.C., overseen by someone who is qualified because, well, you know, they lived inside. So what could possibly go wrong? They know that you should have a door. You should never lock the door, but you should have a door. Okay. Now, you're going to just force people to build homes. I don't know how that works. But you're going to force home builders to build homes, and you're going to give every first-time home buyer a $25,000 payout from the federal government. Let me just raise my hand here. Over here, please, if you were answering questions. Here's my question. Who's giving that first-time home buyer the $25,000? The federal government. Right. And what job does the federal government have that provides it with the income necessary to then give each new home buyer $25,000 to put down on the price of a new home? Uncle Sam is again working the second shift at Walmart. Fair enough. It's not like you'd just be taking money, say, from me and giving it to, I don't know, somebody you like more. Okay. And then you're concerned about people buying the homes. Well, might I ask you to take a look at your major contributors? Companies like BlackRock. BlackRock owns a huge stock of homes in America. They don't buy them because their employees live in them. They buy them as investments. And they are financing, in large part, your campaign. Do you think they will stop that? Oh, one other question. I'm sorry. I feel like Lieutenant Columbo. Oh, no, with you. Hold on. I just forgot this. Hang on a second. That $25,000. So the new home buyer is going to come in and say, look, I got $25,000 for the down payment. Do you think those of us who might be, I don't know, selling a home, do you think we're going to look at that and say, hey, jack the price of every home up by 25 grand because, well, it's a push, right? The buyer is not concerned about it because you are giving it to them. You're not loaning it to them. They're not borrowing it. You are giving it to them as a gift, and you want them to spend it to purchase a house. Well, if I am on the other end of that transaction, and just for the sake of arguments, let's use round numbers because I'm not a numbers guy. Let's say you have a house that's going to sell for $100,000. But now every new buyer who comes along has $25,000 to put down immediately. No questions asked. How long will it take for all of us in the neighborhood where the homes sell for $100,000 to figure out that we can actually list those homes for $125,000? We have the money, and that buyer has just redistributed my money, I guess, back to me because I probably paid that in taxes in the first place. It's absurd. It is all absolute Bernie Sanders. There's just nothing in any of this that makes sense, unless, of course, You're one of the Marx brothers. And I don't mean one of the good Marx brothers like Groucho or Chico. I mean one of the bad Marx brothers like Carl or Carl. Those are the bad Marx brothers. All right, coming up at 3:33, Dave Brad is going to be here. Oh, I've got a sneaking suspicion he's got a thing or two to say about the economic plan released just moments ago by Kamala Harris. 4:33, Stan Andrewski, my brother from another mother. Going to be here, you know, every Saturday morning at 8, he does the best weekend radio show anywhere in the garage with Stan Andrewski. On Fridays, he drops by to give us a little clue as to what's coming up. Oh, 5:33, we got him. Good. My dear friend Tom Leonard from Tom Leonard's Farmers Markets. Since he and every other grocer in America has now been accused by Kamala Harris of engaging in price gouging on food, I thought we'd give him a chance to, just kind of weigh in and let us know perhaps what the truth is. Oh, I forgot one thing. It's Friday, right? I normally give you a quick rundown things on Friday. What do I do on Friday? I wear red, R-E-D. Remember everyone deployed, and I am happy to say, very happy to say that our laundry fairy cooperated this week. I do have a red shirt on, Stanford University. Paid full price, just so you know. But I got the red shirt on. Oh, I've also got a red bracelet from my dear friend, my official parade partner, one of the finest human beings I've ever met, an absolute sweetheart, the queen of bracelets herself. Emily Morrissey from emilysbracelets.com. I've got her special R.E.D. bracelet for Friday. And because it's Friday, And as crazy as everything is, nothing says Friday like a little dose of Peppa Pig. I got my Peppa Pig baseball cap on as well. It is 360 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. The price of the houses go up another $25,000. You cannot really be that stupid. It's not humanly possible to be that stupid. The only people dumber than her in that room are the people in the audience, like trained seals, who are clapping and hooting and hollering for this. You know, there are a handful of people that I hate. I hate bullies. I hate liars. And gosh, I don't hate stupid people, but boy, I got a real low tolerance for them. All right, we're going to be joined by a very smart man in a moment, Dr. Dave Bratt. It is 327 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 333 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. A beautiful Friday afternoon. I'm telling you, it's like 85 with low humidity. The sun is shining. It is a fine day to venture outside, enjoy a little bit of outdoor time. Kamala Harris, Vice President of the United States, who would like to be president, has just explained economics to all of us. Who knew? All you have to do if you want to control inflation is have a government board setting prices on food, because she said that high food prices cause inflation. Okay. And for those people who can't afford homes, she and her administration will be giving them $25,000 each. And the idea that $25,000 would then be built into the price of a house, well, I keep moving along. Oh, and there are too many companies that own houses. No kidding. And one of the biggest is BlackRock, which is one of the major financiers of the Kamala Harris for President campaign. But what do I know? I mean, I just sit here and I chat and I talk about stuff and I'm looking through the window. Dave Bratt, Dr. Dave Bratt, who is now the senior vice president at Liberty University for Business Relations, taught economics for years and years and years. And, well, I'd like to get his take on Kamalanomics and how this might all work out for us. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Jeff. All political views of my own. Team me up.
All right. Well, explain it to me, because I just heard the vice president tell me that high food prices cause inflation, and all we need to do is just, you know, have some government agency setting food prices.
Yeah, no, she's got it exactly backwards on that one, but seriously, on everything, right? Her dad was a Marxist economic professor, and yep. So that really is the choice. Is John Maynard Keynes, who's a big government guy, taught us, two nerdy economist moral philosophers framed the world for us. Adam Smith, who believed in freedom, and Karl Marx, who believed in central command from the central government called communism. Yeah. And that is the debate, and that's going to be the election. And so if you believe that the central government can run the economy better, then she is your person, because that's what she said. Her whole speech is what the federal government is going to do for you and the economy. Mm-hmm. And so every time that's been tried in every place throughout all of human history, in every culture, it's been a failure. And so that's in its simplest form what's going on. Now, if you want to look at the big, big issues, look at China today. Why is China falling apart? Because their government got involved in the real estate sector.
Right.
Right? Anybody should just make sure you go out and look at that to make sure that we're getting the facts straight. The government got involved in real estate. They totally messed it up, and they're going to have a lost decade of growth because of the federal government, communist central planning answers. Food prices are high because of grocery stores or something. That is absolutely false. Prices are high because the Federal Reserve printed too much money, and you have too much money chasing too few goods. That is what inflation is. If the Federal Reserve wouldn't have printed the money, you wouldn't have inflation, period, end of sentence. Why did the Federal Reserve print the money? Because the federal government did $7 trillion budgets and had COVID budgets, sending checks to everybody with no COVID.
Right.
That bill will come due, but that is the cause of the high prices. So she's got it exactly backwards. if she wants to ban anything to solve inflation, she should ban the Federal Reserve System, or at least make them follow a monetary rule like Milton Friedman said or John Taylor at Stanford. Right. Those are the two great monetary theorists that she mentioned. And even she's reading the speech, and it's set up to win votes. The whole thing's a political speech. But when it came to her key line, she even said, you know, I'm going to make sure that we end this price gouging. And so I don't even think she knew, you know, it's price gouging and what that is. I don't think she got it. And she's been on plenty of other clips explaining what inflation is, and she does not know what it is.
Right.
And so the left is great at politics, though. So they're going to pull up the heartstrings and talk mm-hmm. about health care and this yeah. and the opportunity economy. The left owns the school systems in every city. Yeah. In Chicago, the third graders, only 12% of the third graders, of the poor third graders in Chicago, can read at grade level. 88% are illiterate. How the Democrats, the left, the neo-Marxists own the school systems now.
Yeah.
They're doing everything other than teaching the kids knowledge. And so this is the clearest philosophical economic divide you're ever going to see in an election. And either you trust the basic rules and traditions and institutions that made America great, or you trust the federal government to run your life. And it's that clear.
And this would be the same federal government that is, what, $35 trillion in debt?
Yeah. And I forgot, right, just the government's $35 trillion in debt. And so everything they offered, right, the free housing,
mm-hmm.
the free housing is going to be paid for by raising taxes on you. You're going to get higher taxes so you can pay for your free housing. Right, they never tell you where the money's coming from. The rich aren't going to pay those taxes.
That's
the
right.
corporations surely are not going to pay those taxes. They have advanced lawyers with three PhDs that know how to get out of everything.
That's
the middle class is going to end up paying the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you want more taxes, a bigger federal government that you have to pay for? And all the money is going to come out of your paycheck and go to the federal government. That's what you're feeling already.
Yes.
Right, that's the malaise. Everybody knows the stock market's high right now.
Mm-hmm.
Every economist you pull on your show, even Democrats or leftists, mm-hmm. know there's a huge bubble. Right, the Warren. Go Google Warren Buffett Index.
Yep.
He says it's 50% overpriced. The Yale economist Shiller says it's 25 overpriced. 25%. The stock market is 25% too high. It's going to pop. So the stock market is not the economy.
Right.
And the bill is coming due, and this is the most stark choice you'll ever have in an election ever. And I'm just talking about policy here, right? I'm not talking about politics.
Well, let me jump in for a second. Dr. Dave Brand is joining us. Dave, of course, is the senior vice president out at Liberty University, formerly the dean of the business school, has taught economics for, I don't know, 20-plus years, I suppose. You mentioned Shiller. At Yale. So Professor Shiller, of course, if I recall correctly, part of that whole Case-Shiller thing where they talk about real estate and give us a sense of that. How does this piece of the puzzle work? Even in theory, she says, for those people who are priced out of homes right now, people like, you know, your kids and my kids, right? They can't afford to buy the homes that they grew up in, right? They can't afford to live in the neighborhood they grew up in. So she says, well, she explains it like she's talking to a nursery school class, but the price goes up and then the down payment goes up and people never get that. So my administration, her words, my administration will give those people $25,000 for the down payment. And Dave, I don't have three PhDs. I don't have one PhD. I can barely spell PhD. But I'm thinking, if you've got an extra $25,000 in your pocket when you come to buy my house, the price of my house just went up $25,000.
Yeah, well, you understand economics plenty well, because that right there is fine and dandy, but that's what you call a distortion, right? And right now our economy is built on one distortion after another distortion on another distortion, right? The reason the kids can't afford to pay for things is because our country is no longer productive. We've shipped all of our manufacturing jobs abroad to China. and therefore they have all the capital. They have $100 trillion worth of capital. The United States only has $70 trillion worth of capital, and we have a much larger economy. Right. The one thing we do have more of is federal government. Our federal government is 18% of our economy. China is a communist system, and their government is only 14% of their economy, and yet that 14% has managed to ruin China's economy right now. Wow. And so you got to ask yourself, do you want more of this or less? Yeah. It always sounds good. Of course, that policy will never go through, right?
Right.
And she's been vice president for 4 years, so why has she never announced this great thing for the American people?
Yeah.
Because it's a gimmick. All these things are gimmicks. No party would ever pass any of that. It's a walking disaster. They will never pass it. They just use it in the last month to change the topic away from the disaster. She was in charge of the border, right?
Right.
Biden put her in charge of the border. That's what
right.
she was in charge of.
Yep.
And we have 14 million illegals coming across.
Yeah.
They get access to all the benefits, et cetera, for free. You are paying for that.
Yes.
So if you want to know why your productivity and you can't afford to buy a house, it's because we're paying for 14 million new folks who came in illegally. If you want that, it's a free country. Vote for it. But the American people, I don't think, want to vote for that.
Well, I mean, we saw in the last election, essentially the nation was split, right? 80 million, 80 million. And you are quite correct. Not that that's unusual for you, but you're quite correct, Dave, that this is the clearest choice. You have one path, which is, I mean, it's the road to ruin. There's no doubt about that. This is socialism hardcore, communism hardcore. And then over here, you have opportunity, you have freedom. You know what my concern is, Dave? My concern is that we got a whole slew of people now who look at opportunity and freedom and say, yeah, but look at all this free stuff. It's all going to be free. Everything will be fine. And I think, unfortunately, there are a lot of people willing to trade their vote for the promise of, a free house and better prices. And they're not looking at the big picture.
No, well, you're correct. I ran on the economics, and, now I'm in a happy life also, but the people did not care ultimately about that.
Yeah.
And I ran it kind of in the afterburners of the 2007-08 financial crisis.
That's right.
Where the market did go down by 40%.
Yep.
Right? Everybody remember that? The stock market went down.
Yep.
You lost 40% of your retirement. And what caused that? The same thing. And this is by all the leading economists I just mentioned. We printed way too much money in 04, 05. All that money had to go somewhere. Where did it go? Back then, it went into the housing sector.
Right.
And the Federal Reserve said, Bernanke said, the housing sector is fine. But Case-Shiller had their index and said, it's not fine.
Yeah.
And it wasn't fine. Now all the money has gone into the stock market, right? We fixed some of the housing problems. And made them, more solid in terms of banking fundamentals, which we should do.
Right.
But now all the money is going into the stock market, and so it's in a bubble. And it's going to pop, and then we're going to lose a huge chunk of our value of our stock market. On top of the fact that inflation, right, has already taken away 20% of your purchasing power over the past 4 years. I heard a great analogy the other day. If you worked 50 years of your life to earn a retirement pension, the inflation has eaten away 40% of that in the past 50 years. So it's also equivalent to saying that if you worked for 50 years, inflation took 20 years of your life away from you. That's 40%.
Wow. 20
years out of your life have been stolen. Your wages have been stolen. That's not including taxes.
Yeah.
That's just the bite inflation has taken from you. So this comes from the folks who promise everything and don't want to give you the truth and the hard message. Johnny and Mary, you got to read your books. You got to study hard. You got to eat your spinach. You got to run your laps.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no shortcuts in this world. And anyone that tells you there is, they're just lying to you. Sorry.
I... I just sit here, Dave, and let me remind everybody, Dr. Dave Brad is joining us, truly one of the smartest guys I know, the senior vice president out at Liberty University now for business relations, was the dean of the business school, of course, served in Congress, been a college professor. Have we taken Hayek's book, The Road to Serfdom, out of every class everywhere? Because it just seems to me that some of the folks on the left read it, and for them, it was like the feel-good hit of the season. You know, they saw this as great, central control and, you know, absolute tyranny, and individuals just give up everything, and everybody is, I guess, just goes along to get along in that gray sort of blob. But for those of us who give a damn about this country, Dave, I mean, that's something everybody ought to be reading and understanding the dangers here.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It's basically the freedom agenda. Do you believe in freedom or not? So our DHS, right, Department of Homeland Security, has redefined tweets to be cyber events. Right. And so our federal government under the Biden administration censored over 100 million tweets.
Yep.
From people. That's not freedom, right? They've redefined democracy in the code, in the law. Not to mean the will of the people anymore. It means the processes and institutions.
Yep.
So that if you write or say anything about that process or system, you're a threat to democracy.
Yep.
This is the opposite of democracy and the opposite of freedom.
Yeah.
And so I think the people are catching on. The black community, the Hispanic community, the blue-collar community is moving our way. I looked at the Kamala was giving her speech, the New York Times, and everybody was on her feed.
Right.
Right? It's like the mainstream media is part of the state media apparatus now.
Absolutely.
And they're just putting out her talking points for her.
Yeah.
This is very problematic. The press was given special rights in the Constitution to be a check on power, against all power,
yep,
against every political party, and it should be that way. There should be vast criticism of any politician. Me, the opposition, everybody, so that the voter actually understands what's at stake. Right now, the scary thing is you have a monopoly in the press.
Yep.
And the mainstream media, all the biggies, the Washington Post, the Atlantic, the New York Times.
Yep.
It's just unbelievable when they use the same lines every day. That's how you can tell.
That's right. Right?
There's no creativity. There's no writing. There's no style. They just all have the exact same quotes. They lead with the same story. That includes the BBC, NPR, our government apparatchiks.
Yep.
And it's scary if you're paying attention. And they should be covering issues like 500,000 dead and injured in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
None of that.
Yep.
No interest, no curiosity whatsoever. 500,000 dead boys. Or injured in Ukraine. No one knows any of this, and we're right in the middle of this. And Israel, Iran is ready to pop, and Egypt's sitting there on the sideline, and Turkey's on the sideline, and Russia's shipping equipment now, and China's funding a lot of this, and Obama was friends with Iran for some reason, and Kamala is got some Chinese links, and Waltz went to China 30 times when he was a teacher.
That's right.
And so... these are not the freedom people. That's not the freedom set of countries that I want to live with.
Well, Dave, I'm with you. You know, Peter Schweitzer just did a nice little expose, if you will, on Tim Walz and his connections to the Chinese Communist Party. And over in England, they've made it clear that social media, commenting on social media or sharing social media is being treated like a crime. They were very happy to announce the other day the arrest of the first person I noticed. And their offense, Dave, was retweeting something that was, quote, anti-establishment rhetoric, end quote. If that does not send a chill up and down your spine, then you're just totally disconnected. This all hangs in the balance right now.
And their tweets, they not only said that over there, they also questioned the debate or the dialogue between Musk and Trump.
Yes.
And they threatened him.
That's right.
And from Europe, they threatened our political process from Europe, and Musk did offer equal airtime to Kamala. So, you know, that's democracy, right? When a platform offers both people a long, extended forum to share their ideas.
That's That's right.
And when that's threatened, because they know Kamala won't go on, so they know it's open airtime for President Trump. And
that's right.
Boy, that is another signal.
It sure is. Dave, we're out of time. We're over time. We're both in trouble.
We hit it all.
Yeah, we're both in trouble with Jeremy, but he'll probably forgive you. I can't thank you enough, my friend. It is always great to have you here. Nobody better, nobody more on point than you are, and we're just blessed to have you as part of the team here.
Yep, keep fighting for freedom, brother.
We're going to do it. Thank you, my friend. That is Dr. Dave Bratt, the Senior Vice President out at Liberty University. What an absolutely incredible man. It is 3:52, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:55, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. Yes, indeed, we have made it. Congratulations. Self high fives all the way around. In the 4 o'clock hour, my brother from another mother, Stan Andruski. He is the host of In the Garage with Stan Andruski. Yeah, no, we've spent a lot of time coming up with a name, and I think it works. I really do. I really do. He does a great job each and every morning each and every Saturday morning. Almost gave him more work. Sorry. Each and every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about cars. We've got Tom Leonard joining us, my dear friend from Tom Leonard's Farmers Market. He's under attack right now. Every grocer in America has been told they're gouging customers. Or what did she say? They're gauging customers. Just incredible. 3:57, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.